Is Ever Beyond with JP.
Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
So, that wasn't recorded, that didn't go in. It's been dead air for the last 5 minutes. Ah, very good. Dead air, thank you everybody. Yeah, okay. So, emerging from the silence, I hope, yeah, that squeal probably came on the radio as well. And I'm sorry about the pain there. If anybody's wearing headphones, I just realised that when Lucy was talking, I looked around at the meters and there was nothing happening, so I realised that the microphone was switched off because I've got a weird PA system set up here. And so, it's the 3rd of March, 2013. This is Ever Beyond. My name is JP, and I'm honoured to be receiving tonight's guest, who is, in fact, live in Studio 9.1.
9.1.
We'll explain that later. We're going to be talking about spontaneity, about poetry, about time, about timelessness, about being and beingness and doingness, and lots of other interesting concepts taken from the heart. So this evening my guest is Lucy Thomas.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Depending on where you are.
Yes.
Yeah, see, we were talking to a global population where time has no meaning.
Indeed.
Or has different meanings at different times. So hopefully Ever Beyond is a kind of timeless show because it appears in the early afternoon on the West Coast and late afternoon in the East Coast and kind of late at night in Europe and Britain. But I try to be timeless about it.
Yes.
It's an interesting way of being because, you know, you realise that you're talking to somebody who is experiencing early on, you know, it's dark here, it's been dark for hours, but to them, you know, the sun's shining and the birds are singing outside.
I really like this thought that there is always birdsong around the world. I love the idea of the earth being tickled awake by birdsong constantly.
The birds have a different accent, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, it's true. In a study that was done between Aberdeen, that is
Norway.
In our east coast, and you know who told me this, and Inverness, and on the western side. That if you record the sound of the blackbird singing in the morning awake, the song changes. They use the same notes, but the song changes as it goes across. And so they all have a different, you know, different accent. And like accents change, you know, you can tell the difference between somebody from Elgin, somebody from Forres, somebody from between Elgin and Forres.
I guess. Why not birds?
I found when I went to Glasgow that I could speak with a better Glaswegian accent than I can do normally.
Sure. I mean, you adapt, don't you? You hear the song being sung locally and you want to belong to it, so you sing a little in that tune. Yeah, but it's funny to think about birds with an Inverness accent.
Yeah.
Or a Dumfriesshire accent.
Yeah.
How do we get from birds to timelessness then?
Well, it's all about time. You want to come a little bit more closer to me. The mic will pick you up, but don't do not be intimidated by this technical thing here. It's quite flexible. It's a product of time that we are at one point, at any point, there is a dawn happening on the planet as it's rotating. So there's always birdsong, as you say,
yes,
happening. The evensong, the morning.
But the birds don't do time, do they? I mean, I'm just feeling into more what timelessness is when you consider daily rhythms, for example, dawn and dusk, which seem to mark time.
Mm-hmm.
But it that is only so from our perspective.
And only on one layer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, I completely ignore that rhythm, as you know.
Sure.
You're pretty good at holding on to that rhythm, but...
And, yeah, yours is the inverse.
Yeah.
It's still a rhythm.
Yeah.
And I'm just contemplating on how we use time in order to create meaning, a linear meaning, so that we can somehow, so that we can anchor as individuals telling a story. Using time as the, if you like, the page that the story's written on.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise the story would be just written on one page.
Well, sort of backstepping a bit, then I have to wonder, well, who am I who is writing? Because the one writing doesn't use a page. Is. So then I can backstep into the part of me that is timeless. When I use that metaphor, it's kind of helpful. I get a sense of the objective me that is timeless, in timelessness, using time to write a story that exists in time. And this conversation is part of that story.
Mm-hmm.
And there is us here, like we were talking before about us witnessing this conversation. And when I fall back into that sense of us, I know you as myself. You know, the Course in Miracles talks of this moment as the holy instant.
I refer to it as timeless moments.
Indeed.
Yeah. And when there's no expectation, when there's no fear, those moments can occur. And they can happen all the time. And I think that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about moving into a new dimension. The fourth dimension is like beyond time. Does it matter about time? And that here we are in an eternal moment. Eternal just means out of time, not forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The tricky thing is that as soon as we open our mouths to speak, we are requiring time.
Yeah.
In order to hear and make meaning.
That's right. So we're existing, we're expressing into time, pushing into, like putting your thumb into plasticine, impressing into the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. The only way to be truly timeless, in fact, is in silence.
Yeah. But that doesn't make for good radio.
Ah. Houston, I think we've got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we could sit here in silence, vibrating the truth for the next 2 hours. And you know, out there, some people would get it. Certainly, some of us would definitely get it.
There's a few people who do that live streaming on the Deeksha website, Oneness Blessing. There's a woman in Brazil I caught. What's her name? I forget. She just glows into the camera.
All right.
Sometimes there's music in the background, but she's just glowing, grinning, mostly.
So somebody's calling me on my landline. Haven't they? Don't they know that I've got a live radio show? I'm sorry, I can't take your call on that landline. Well, there you go. How funny.
Is it time for a tune?
Oh, no, for a tune? We've only done 16 minutes. Or do you want?
I don't know the regularity of these things.
All right. Well, as I said, I'm always open to spontaneity, and we could have a break now. I'm expecting some people to want to join in. Chris Noonan, if you're there, I'd love you to join in. Chris has heard your previous shows and really, really enjoys your
my dulcet tones,
beingness. So let's see if you're out there.
Is anyone there now?
Oh yeah, there's a good little group.
Hello.
Yeah, at least as large as a full upper CC. This is.
It won't mean anything to them.
No, it doesn't mean anything to them, but it means something to you. It's just the kind of idea of the group that we have here.
Uh huh. Well, it's. I mean, obviously, even if there was no one there, we'd still be here.
Yeah.
So. Even if it's the size of your bathroom.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I have to say that you can only get about 3 or 4 people in the bathroom at once. But, and that would be really pushing it, and somebody would have to be standing in the bath. You could probably get 2 people if they were small enough.
It would make for cosy acoustics.
Yeah, yeah. Oh dear. I can feel a recording coming on. Oh, what a great sounding bathroom you got. Okay, bring the mic out there. Wheel it up.
Well, I watched on YouTube at Balcony Studio. Thing it was that their thing was that they would squeeze a band onto a little balcony, and the camera must have been like through the window onto the balcony, and the band who really squeezed in.
Yeah, we have something like that called the Market Bar in Inverness. There's only like it's almost like the top of a stairwell, like fenced off. it's like a balcony. It's about the size of a balcony to.
We've rather gone off topic.
I'm glad you're listening. So, we were talking about timelessness. And this is the stove in Studio 9.1. Actually, let's just explain. Studio 9 was a large workshop that I used to have. And every Friday night I used to invite people around and we would spontaneously make music. And we'd have a fire outside, and it was a nice little tribal event. And so my new house is going to have a similar sort of event, maybe not so often. And Lucy was a regular usual suspect. I used to call everybody the usual suspects. So, I wonder if I should put on a tune. And just check that. Let's have some Sons of Arca, shall we? With John Cooper Clark. He did not die.
Did not die, and yet nothing of life remains. He shall emerge exhausted from the terrible rigors of insomnia, out of the daylight, into the night, a city of corruption, whose opulent squalor holds within its ruins the sickening stench of its stagnant eons, whose agents of disease are as sacred as they are profane. livid veins of fungoid rot devour the foundations. In this insubstantial empire of dust, where science will not suffice, sooner or later he shall end by coming to his knees before the darkness, the death, and the distance.
Welcome back to Ever Beyond. This is March the 3rd, 2013. There's a thing about these numbers, 3, 3, 2013, and all these threes, and it's been a very kind of numbery kind of year, really.
I mean, it's, Jeremy, it's been a very kind of numbery year.
Yeah.
Come on.
That sounds like Winnie the Pooh, doesn't
it? Get to the point. What?
So, how has it been a number year? There's been all of these little kind of number games that have been played,
Listen, okay, yeah. I'm gonna call you on what you just said to me.
Call me.
And I'd like you to say again the invocation that you did right at the beginning.
Uh huh.
Before we realised that the switch wasn't on and we weren't.
Right.
Okay.
If I can remember.
Do you remember?
Well,
you don't need to remember exactly the words, but the place and the intention you can.
So basically, I was drawing attention to our heart center and then up to the crown center, bringing in the monad, then bringing down into the heart center the soul, expressing through the throat center the personality. Then expressing through the lower bodies, the mental body, the emotional body, and finally the physical body, and out through to the world.
So this is, as an invocation, this has great power if we let it. And the power is in the space that we give it. And it, I guess, with radio, like you just pointed out, it is difficult to nurture a space of the heart when there is a requirement to talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not making a dig at radio, but more generally in our lives, I think many of us feel compelled to be outputting in the way of talk, or in the way of looking, in the way of digesting, in the way of moving into the head in order to receive the world and make meaning. And this in fact is the opposite direction that we want to go, because we do want to reside in our hearts, because that's where we're home and that's where it feels good. So it's a very short journey we take constantly, daily, out of our hearts into our heads, in order to survive, in inverted commas, in order to exist as separate, in order to create the thoughts that we exist, that tell us we exist as separate.
They say the journey from the heart to the head is the longest one, or from the head to the heart, It's probably harder to get from the head to the heart than it is to go from the heart.
It's just habit.
Mm.
It's just a habit. It's the heart is home again. So it's first of all we've got to cure our obsession with suffering that keeps us moving out of the place where it feels good.
Mm-hmm. So the idea that we have to suffer, that life is all about suffering because we're not allowed to spend time in our hearts. Somehow. It's socially unacceptable to actually be in your heart.
This is another story. This is another story. On one level, that's true. When I tell that story, it becomes true.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell that story to myself, that it's unacceptable for me to be in my heart, I go into the world and I create experiences that prove me right. This is how powerful I am as a creator. But if I cease to tell that story to myself, and I tell an opposite one, one like, it is my greatest joy and the world's necessity that I live in my heart, then I use that creative power to create experiences that prove me right. Again, the world is wanting me to be in my heart.
Mm.
And I speak to myself. You know, me just speaking right now is the enactment of that. And you've facilitated me into that, and I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Note to the audience, I almost had to twist her arm to come on the show. But anyway, because you showed up.
Yeah,
it was a show. She's show time. And it's Sunday night. And we used to have open mics a few years ago. I used to run an open mic on the Sunday night, which was a time when we would express our poetry. Mm. The Friday nights were kind of more musical, less verbiage. But sometimes it was poetry night on Sunday night. So I'll do my poem later as well.
Mm-hmm. So here's one.
Go on then.
I said it to you before.
A poem by Lucy Thomas.
I dare you. Go on. I dare you to fall in love with yourself. I dare you to find perfection in your being and nothing but bliss in the fact of your birth. I dare you to see yourself without prejudice and to risk the accusations of egotism and selfishness, arrogance from those that don't dare. I dare you as I dare myself, daily, moment by moment. And the dare is really an invitation to rest. And to protect your rest by loving.
Delicious. Sumptuous berries from the poetic bush. Oh, no.
Big hole.
Let's stop digging that one. Meanwhile, so that was great. So that's daring and daring yourself and laying challenges before yourself. People have been talking about a bit about that recently to me, and I haven't taken that many risks physically, but I think I've taken a lot of risks kind of socially, you know, risking lack of social acceptance by, you know, discussing the sort of stuff that I discuss and doing the sort of things that I do.
Or have you?
Well,
have you got, Jeremy, what story do you want to tell about your radio show now?
Well,
what's its purpose and how is it accepted, bearing in mind what I just said?
Mm.
What do you want to create? So tell me about your show
mm-hmm.
as it is received and how it does its service as you vision it.
Well, part of it it was kind of accidental, in the same way that you accidentally showed up tonight, just at this moment. And, you know, I've told that story about how it happened, but behind that was somehow I knew I had a message, some message, and I didn't know what the message was. Do I still know what the message is? I don't know. I think I'm doing it. I think it's happening, and it's happening through the process of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is until it's at least halfway out. You know, you could take a very close photograph of a rose petal and not know that it was sort of bundled up inside a rose bud until it had finally expressed as a rose.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, it's in that process of blooming.
Mm-hmm.
So things are happening. And so I have a radio show, and people call me during the middle of the radio show. Who would that be? I have no idea. I'm just going to shut that door. Don't call me when I'm at the office, dear. And yeah, it feels now like I'm, well, you and I live in this, what's known as the wider community of a New Age intentional community that is known by the name of Findhorn. Now people have left and right opinions of that and whatever might be going on for them. And the idea is that we're living in a place where there's maybe a little more enlightenment and a little more empathy and understanding than in other places. That's, you know, what you'd expect from that sort of thing. It doesn't actually sort of play out that way, but we are blessed, I think, with some relatively enlightened people around here. And yet, none of them know that I have this radio show that is talking about exactly the kind of stuff that is right at the cutting edge of what they're looking towards. I find it quite funny, really, that, you know, people know me elsewhere, but they don't know me here. But that's fine. That's fine.
Well, that's often the case, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, it's like, despite that, here I am, I'm doing that. I'm doing this. This is a risk. Because, you know, I'm putting out truths. You know, people die doing this stuff. People get threatened. People get blackmailed.
Have you been?
I haven't been, no. But here I am, I'm sort of putting my nose into the edge of this genre. However, that's not to deter me. That's
no.
not to deter me. But I do know that there are risks involved. At the same time,
am I allowed to disagree?
Of course you can disagree. I might not agree in your disagreement,
sure.
But you can disagree.
Sure.
You have every right to disagree.
No, it's not so much I'm going to disagree with you, but I'm actually more interested in the story, and because that's not my story.
Mm-hmm.
That it's risky. Yeah, I just want to lead us back into the heart.
Let's go back to the heart of the matter.
Yes, and the thing is, we can't. We can.
Who says we can't? Go on.
It's kind of a. If we want to speak from the heart and be in the heart, then we also want to realise that we are constantly creating our experience. So this is why I asked you, how do you envision your radio show, the service that it gives.
Right.
Because I wanted to hear and feel the vision of your radio show.
But it turned into a poor Jeremy. Nobody listens to me.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, so, all right, so getting beyond my pity party.
Tough.
Okay. I mean, basically, I've got a load of things that I'm interested in. I've got people I've been studying, people who I've been interested in terms of, like, the work that they do, and I've invited them on my show, and some have even become friends, you know, that call me casually. And what I find... It's like, instead of reading a book, I speak to the author and I get everything. It's like I get the whole series of books. I don't need to read their books because...
You get the download in your...
I get the download from them.
Yeah.
And so that is recorded and archived. And I'm very strong on archives. You know, I've archived everything. You know, and although it kind of, there's a sort of, and it refers to that poem of yours earlier, that there's a sort of sense of arrogance or egotistical, you know, why are you recording everything that you're doing? You know, how special are you? You know, kind of thing. I just do it. I don't have thought of, you know, this is that or that, you know, that, you know, I'm saying these things and I know that I'm saying them, I've never heard them before. So it's not like I'm regurgitating stuff. It's like the machine is crunching and out comes new stuff from the conglomeration of all the old stuff, and it becomes more distilled wisdom and understanding, and beyond knowledge it becomes you know, a shared part of your beingness, that, you know, like a download, yeah, essentially. That kind of thing. And so when I have these shows and I speak to these people, everybody gets that. If you're listening to the archive, you're in that same moment.
Mm-hmm.
That each show is a moment of time, but altogether they are all part of a journey. There comes another document.
So what is... You said you talked about a message.
Yeah, that when, I felt I had a message.
Yeah, so let's say your show and the message is doing its job. What is the change you see, the effect, yes,
mm-hmm,
in the world now that it is doing its job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have, in this process of creation, we are seeing that what we are creating is already done.
Mm-hmm. So, seeing the extent of it, I mean, again, it sounds really arrogant, but on the strap line of my site, it says saving the world one soul at a time, or something like, mm-hmm, that. And that's like real Messiah complex stuff, and I don't want to even go there, but I don't even know really what saving means, you know, what's lost, what's gained, stuff like that. But really it's about people have to save themselves, and I've got tools here, mm-hmm, like, here in front of me. Tools for discernment, tools for being able to understand the reason that people interact with each other. And it's so elegant and beautiful and effective and completely rooted in the truth of nature and the way nature expresses itself.
Mm. And the tools you're talking about are the rays.
Are the seven rays.
Seven.
Now, at the moment, it's still a bit of a circus sideshow. You know, here I am, I do my readings, and I, you know,
and nail people's personalities and things like that. But there's a deeper lesson, is that when we all understand the rays, when we get it, you can only understand the rays from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do get the rays, it means that you're locking into your heart, because mm-hmm. that's what the heart does. The heart feels mm-hmm. these different energies. Mm-hmm. That's how I discern the rays.
Mm-hmm.
I first of all tune into my heart.
And I'm going to keep prodding you in the creation line. What is the effect? Sorry, you're going in that direction yeah. anyway, but what is the effect in the world when the job is completely done? When you see people,
when people are in a position to step up to understand what their job is in any moment, in terms of responding to the moment, you know, let's put an extreme example in there. Kid falls in a river, you know, you're standing by the river, you jump in, you save the kid. That's normal, yeah. But some people, that's all wet, you know. It's cold, it's wet, it's that. Excuses. Yeah.
If it was a dog, maybe.
Yeah. Throw a stick in. So, being able to respond appropriately in the moment can also mean if there was just about a fight to break out in front of you, and you were able to defuse the attention.
The attention
and the tension mm-hmm. that is building up in the negative way, and spin that round, make it funny.
Uh-huh.
You know, being able to respond appropriately in the moment.
Mm.
Because once we do that, we've gone beyond belief systems. We've gone beyond religions. We've gone beyond all of these dictated ways on how to behave,
mm.
and we're behaving like true human beings. Because we're working from the heart.
Yes.
So that also means telepathy happens.
Mm-hmm.
As a natural product.
I like your responding to a fight example. And some people do have the capacity to use words in the moment to convey, to cultivate peace.
Mm.
But whatever we do on the exterior, something that we can all do is move our consciousness from where it usually resides in our heads
mm-hmm.
into the chest, into the heart. Just doing that, emptying the mind, letting the mind be empty for a moment, and just being in the chest is an incredibly loving act for any moment. It's like it blesses the moment. And by doing that, naturally the argument doesn't happen. Our hearts are so powerful. You know all about magnetic fields. They pump it out more than any other organ we have. It's incredible how powerful our hearts are. When we bring our consciousness into our hearts, that power becomes, it's like it turns on. It's when what we might call God makes love with what we might call matter. If you like, the masculine and the feminine principle get really sexy together as I come into my heart.
In our next show, coming along after the after Ever Beyond, is Frank Jordan's Meditations. He refers to the heart as the zero point, where everything meets, where the male and female meet, where spirit and matter meet, where the past and future meet.
Yes, where two becomes one.
Mm-hmm. And That's the cube. That's the cover of the spirit. At least they make planes. And it's rather beautiful. It's like a Rubik's cube. So that's the model that he uses when we're talking about the heart, that it has so many dimensions to it, as well as being this pulsing magnetic engine, driving force. But at the same time, as well as being like that driving force, it's also receiving frequencies on all frequencies. It's like totally tuned in to everything, and it can be things that you don't expect. Often is what you don't expect. In fact, it's the opposite of what you expect. It's what comes through the heart, isn't it? There's always a creative third option.
Often unspoken. Mostly unspoken. It's a real problem with radio to start speaking into the heart, because when I do, you know, I really do sink there, and there's not a lot to say.
We'll just vibrate for the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, why not? There's great intimacy in you know, everyone who's listening just sinking into their chests, into their hearts. Why not? Our collective field when we do that is palpable.
Well, it was remarked on earlier this evening, wasn't it? That we were just, you know, the other guys were chattering away, and we were just being with each other few feet away, and this other guy says, oh, I can really feel this vibration between you. Yeah, just being. Hey, do you remember that poem,
Just Being?
Yeah, the one we read. Let's play that. Actually, we'll play a couple of things.
Okay.
At the top of the hour, one of which will be a poem that is voiced by yourself and myself.
Oh, yes.
A poem that I wrote years and years ago. And that's called Dissolve. Again, it's the same kind of idea, that dissolving into beingness rather than doing or trying and all of those. Just dissolving and being. And I don't have a good copy of The State of Being, so I may have to do it live. As is my vote. And so let's have a look here. So we're about 5 minutes away from the top of the hour. So we'll play a couple of tunes. I'll be putting also a recording. Can I play a recording of your other poem?
Facing it.
Yeah.
Without music.
Yeah, without music.
Sure.
Awesome. I'll just make it. So, let's have a look here. We will I go here, and then I go here. And then I do this. This is Dissolve again. I want to take you into my body and heal you. I want to dissolve into you, that we melt through the ground, offering no resistance, being air, being fire, being, just being.
In the liquid spirit formed, our essence meet. I am the union. There is no I or you. Only us, the us, the us. Imagine then we become a flow, a flower, only to be changed into a light beam, back to the sun, the stars, the universe, the universe, the universe. Spinning, piercing space and time, back to the start of it all. Let there be light, 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 let there be light. And from that light return, refreshed, at ease, in trust, at one, ourselves again, only whole this time. Enter the world again in strength and power,
and power, and power,
and power, and power, and power, to make the change, 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 to make the change.
In the lines that follow, please indulge my momentary blues. They're born of love, and so I've put them to good use. Facing in, I see we've dimmed and trimmed the light born inside us. Our hearts beat an intelligence too bright for the schools that learned us. Our bodies too lithe for the jobs that mined us. Sat on our asses for years. What a farce! Conforming to a schedule of military precision, ensuring intellectual academic obsession. No child left behind, marching forward in quick time. The economy needs us to toe the line. Well-meaning? Exams serve too well as the best defense against the unpredictable, unaccountable, unrepressible brilliance of the human divine. Facing in, I see we're clear-felling parts of ourself. Our interior wealth thrown out with a wrapping from yesterday's dinner, a pre-cooked fest of chemical synthesis served up on a plastic platter and nuked for our comfort. Facing in, I see we've believed that today's news is new. We've forgotten that history is not our only story. We've admitted a virus into our cellular memory. But of course we did. No blame, my friend. The dis-ease is laid out over and over again. 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, headline after headline. It wasn't so different in my grandparents' time. News is peddling in misery, advertising crime. Great, it's boosting the GDP by tightening minds. We can't grow beauty or become the beloved with a head full of landmines. So my outlook is simple, perhaps a little old-fashioned, but it's our inner wisdom that's called forth my passion. I've got to speak up for the inward direction and dream the dream of the ultimate connection. The moment I call the holy instant, When the parts of us that feed complexity and conflict get honest and admit, they're afraid of our mystery because they can't think it. To them, knowledge without thinking is still an alien inkling. Yet mothers don't think their cells into making a baby, nor do you think your nails, hair and skin into growing daily. And what we most definitely can't get by thinking is how our innocence, our most inner sense, is happy. Our obsession with thinking is a tad perverse. Proof, if we needed it, that by default, ego just doesn't trust the universe. Einstein was spot on. We can't think our way out of thinking's creations. Instead, we must feel our way into life's original invention, love. So we've got to look the other way, my friends. Not a way that is philosophical, spiritual, or even metaphorical. The interior way. It is an inside job, I'm afraid. It doesn't look sexy and it might not get you laid, but deep inside is the only place that's totally conspiracy-free. The only place of true ease is in our own intimacy. Into me, see. I've pledged to go there, into the depths of me, because I'm convinced the interior way is the only way through global misery. Everything else is a panicked attempt to be in control of unconscious grief from eons spent not feeling whole. Don't ask me, please, how it is I know. It may be something to do with the seeds our ancestors sowed, or the fact that my body is made with the intelligence of planetary anatomy, or the automatic cosmic download that's in the sunshine every day. The truth is, I don't know either, but I'm still okay. These days, the swelling in my heart feels louder than thinking. And while our shine is still hiding, I will stand here and speak clear, because our interior wisdom is what will dissolve the world's fear. I love you, and this is true. And speaking these words has made me feel less blue, so I thank you for your listening ear.
So, there's a couple of pieces that Lucy Thomas and I have co-created in our time. So, Lucy's just about to go home. It's actually, it's midnight here, and Lucy's about to pick turn into a pumpkin.
A pumpkin,
If she's not careful. Yeah. It's been great having you over.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. I think with next time, give me a little warning.
Well, you tell me when you're coming over for the show.
Well said.
Works both ways, but it's been really lovely to have you over.
Thanks for tea, too.
The tea's been lovely, and thanks for helping with the pasta sauce. I will enjoy that much later.
Yes, maybe next day, maybe.
After the show, we've got a bit, it all got a bit tight by time, but everything's happened in a good order, and nothing's been too rushed and out of line. So yes, it's been lovely to vibrate. It's been something that I've actually felt like what I needed to do is to vibrate with someone who just wants to vibrate for a while, rather than doing all the talking or intellectual stuff. There's been a lot of that. So,
well, I'm curious to hear if anyone did pick up on the invitation to be to just come into the heart. and the potential for us to do that as a collective, as we listen, as we tuned into to this show, to just be aware of each other first. And then the agreement to be in the heart as a collective.
Mm.
I think just this, it's a profoundly, profoundly simple thing. And because it's so simple, we're going to miss it.
Mm.
We have been missing it. But nonetheless, it's worth stating, and it's so fucking funny. There's a big cosmic wick that I'm here talking about it on radio when I can't see anybody. And we can't share, you know, the affirmation that we're together because we can't see each other.
Yeah.
It's even more difficult to do it. But I can still feel it even...
Yeah. We have what has been called a morphological field.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That builds up. And particularly it's been happening on the Sundays because the show that follows this show is a healings and teaching show. And he, Frank Jordan, speaks to and through the morphological field of the earth mind. And so every week about this time, there's this kind of build up of consciousness.
Yeah.
And connection. And, you know, Ever Beyond is like part of that build up. You know, we mm-hmm. get people to express their self through their heart. People speaking through their heart. And giving their part of the big puzzle, which we're all trying to solve. Why are we here? What am I doing here? Why is it all wrong?
But this is the thing about just shifting into the heart instead of their head. Mm. All of those questions just stop.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong anymore. It becomes apparent that we are totally and utterly connected. I mean, but it's not even that we're connected, because it's beyond connection. We are one. I heard the other day, it's not that I'm greater than you, less than you, or even equal to you. We are one. And that's an experience. And so it can't be spoken, but it can be recognized together.
Mm-hmm. And so that's possibly part of the message that the show is about.
Mm-hmm.
That we are one, that everybody who comes on has a different story of how we got there, different traumas, but we all feel the same. We all have the same feeling about things. And in my book, feelings is where everything is. It's all about feelings, and feelings are the things you feel in your heart. Not emotions, you know, not just like anger and hate and all that stuff, but subtleties of energetic vibration that we call feelings. Flavours of a moment. Shades.
So when I go from here, as I am about to do, I'm still here.
You've always been here.
Always been here.
Lucy Thomas,
mm.
I'll never get rid of you.
No.
Thank you for being on Ever Beyond.
That's nice.
So, let's just have... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's have some Gandalf Murphy. While I say goodbye to Lucy Thomas. Thank you very much, Lucy. It's been lovely having you here. Gandalf Murphy and the Slambovian Circus of Dreams with Tink, I Know It's You. Ah, I love that track. And for those of you who haven't heard this, it's not an electric guitar that slide solo was played on. It's actually a mandolin, which is why he managed to get to those really, really, really high notes. Anyway... So, I have said goodbye to my studio guest, Lucy Thomas. She's just wandered off into the darkness. as it is here, of midnight here in northern Scotland. And so I'll take calls if anybody wishes to call in. I'm happy to do ray readings, and I'm happy to talk about other kind of things. Love is a feeling. This is what. Okay, so this is an open moment. If you would like to call in, you can call in on the telephone number, the 775-657-5973. Or you can connect with my Skype. I've got nobody on the line at the moment, so if anybody of you guys know Skype, and let's see. Right, okay, so there's that one. I'm just checking these Skype messages. Right, okay, that's okay. So, yeah, Smoke, why don't you talk about... you would like to talk to me first. Why don't you call into the show? I would like to be interested to work with what you're talking about here. Anyway, or anybody who would like to call in and speak to me, I can talk about the rays and how they might apply. So for the moment, where are we? We're here. It's so the Pope's resigned. What else? The Queen's in hospital, so she's probably about to resign. Is William old enough? What's going on with that? Is Charles going to finally get to the throne for 3 days? What's going to happen? It's a very interesting moment that we're in. How's the war situation? I'm not really looking very much about who's threatening whom, because as far as I'm concerned, there will be no war, but there are still rumours of war, as they are trying to take the take us all down into hell in a handbasket, but it's not going to happen. So why don't you guys call me and speak in here, because I'd be very happy to discuss those subjects that you're talking about in the chat room, it's a very interesting subject at all. And yeah, well, romantic love versus spirit love and all of that stuff. Now that's very interesting. What does romantic mean? Who knows what romantic means? I mean, in terms of the word, I mean, for a start, it's got Roman in it, so that is, for me, it's always a bit suspect when something has Roman in it. Arkela, why don't you call in, and we can have a conversation. I'm very interested to always speak in. Yes, call in, just call in on 775. Six, oh, what is the number? Let me see. There's a thing here that does that. Where's the number thing? There's loads of them. Where are they? I don't know. I can't believe it that I haven't got that jingle of the telephone number in my list here. It's 775-657-5973. Yes, emotional love. You know, there's a lot of stuff about expectations as well, isn't there? Why would they put William on the throne before Charles? I know. It's good. We like questions. Because they don't want Charles to be king. Nobody wants Charles to be king, apart from Charles. And poor love. I mean, he spent all of his life thinking, oh, one day I'll be king. And he probably will never be. Thank you very much. Is it Diane? Eagle Flower? Diana, I think. Eagle Flower. Or Dakota Flower. 657-5973. Oh, yes. 775-657-5973. 5973. Oh, yes. That's good. Yes. Come in. Come in, Arkela. Cool, we know you want. Because he's such an ass. Well, you know, maybe because he's It's more likely that it's because he's not a Freemason that he didn't join the Brotherhood, and that's the one that gets you to be king these days, because you have to toe the party line. You can't just be an independent person like a king is ought to be. Kings ought to be, on the line, bringing through the spirit of the country. That's why they sit on the throne with all those crystals and things arranged around their head. You know, if anybody's seen Dale's headband, it's a copper headband with a silver disc and a crystal, and they form a capacitor radio system that allows you to beam your thoughts out and amplify your thoughts. And amplify other thoughts, so you can tune into just about anything with one of these headbands. So imagine what you would do with something that was encrusted with, say, a really high quality diamond crystal, like the Kohinoor or something like that. What kind of fun you could get up to influencing the ley lines and the planet when you're wearing such a thing. And I don't think that they think it has, that it's, you know, just a decoration. I think they know what it means. I think they really do know what the meaning of all those crystals and, gemstones are, that they're not just pretty sparkly, that they are like, very much like, diodes and transistors in an enormous circuit that involves the ley lines and the grid lines of the planet. So, there you go, Trim. So, yeah, what kind of reading? My seven ray reading, this is what I've been talking about. I talk about all the time. Come in, Arcana. 775-657-5973. It won't hurt, I promise. Well, we don't know what the Queen is. We do know that she's a very short person, compared with Obama anyway. I mean, he completely dwarfed her. I thought she was quite tall, but she's like tiny. Oh, don't be shy. It's only us. And we're just you, we're just another yourself. Just call in and find out what flavour your other self is. Somebody call in, it's really nice. I really love talking with people. I'm much better talking with people than talking on my own. And it's much easier to speak to people when there isn't a 2-minute delay between what I say and what they hear. And enough time to think of a response and and type something in. I would like anybody to call in if they can. This is a great opportunity to get a reading or to talk about some issue which is really causing a dilemma in your life, if you like. So yes, I'm just going through these about the rays. Next week I'm going to be joined by a group from the States. I had her as an interview years and years and years ago. And at the time, her name was Alindueth Aldebaran. She's changed it to a much easier to pronounce, Isis Neef. And she'll be appearing with Louise Herzog and Adam. And they are the Ascension Keys team. So this should be a very interesting show next week. It'll be probably a lot more cosmic than this last show. I really enjoyed the energy and vibration of talking with Lucy. actually I always do. It's and I hope you've got an insight into this. As you were saying, it's often very difficult to express from the heart on radio, because there's all these other energies that are going on, and people's expectation to be entertained, and etc, etc, etc. I know you're a good audience. You allow this kind of thing to occur, and I hope that you enjoyed. Oh, no one's picked up. Okay, are you on Skype, Arkayla? I can. I'll just give you my Skype address on the private message, maybe the phone hasn't been forwarded to me. At which case, that's so. Okay, I've just given you your. I have just PM'd. Yeah. Maybe the phone's not forwarded. Yes. Yes, Isis, the goddess of the universe. Well, I mean, some people say that. There are many different stories. Who is Isis? What is Isis? Tracy Kennedy, our co-host, has some very interesting connections with Isis and what Isis is all about. And I believe you need to look no further than your own Statue of Liberty, as is known. But apparently that's a statue of Isis with the seven rays that are coming from her head, being the goddess. There was a guest here called Isis before who thinks she created it. All right. Maybe. Well, her name is Isis Neith something, so she's got various names. She came on as being a representation of the Council for the Assistance to Earth. And this is many years ago, about 3 years ago now. One of my very first interviews, I was asked to, you know, just take this interview because. But she was quite interested, and she had these beings that she would channel. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what's going on now for them, and hopefully this is going to be an interesting show next week. So do call in, and if you can, call in through the Skype system, if it's possible. All right, yes, that's good. So I'm going to be messaged any time soon by Arkayla, and hopefully she'll come in, and we can do a quick reading. So we're about 35 minutes from the top of the show. I do hope you've enjoyed the conversation I had earlier. Oh yes, Tremjar. Yes, it's said that Obama and his missus are clones of two Egyptian gods. This is Freeman. He says that he's Akhenaten, Barakhenaten, he calls him, and Michelle. I mean, I have to say, if you look at the pictures of Akhenaten and you look at Obama, it's, you know, a slim, aquiline, dark-skinned, not quite Afroid, you know, not quite Caucasoid kind of character. Very interesting to, she actually, the kids as well, look like these little Egyptian goddess children as well. Pharaoh's children. So, I still haven't heard from anybody on the Skype yet, but I'm keeping my eyes out. What else has happened this week? What are the momentous things have gone on in this world that people said, oh, nothing's going to happen after the 21st of December, it's going to be just like any other day? Well, it hasn't been like any other day. It's been like some incredibly special days. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving the energy that is flowing at the moment. I'm loving it that people are getting healed spontaneously, and people are becoming more enlightened. losing some of the heaviness. I mean, literally, to when as far as I'm concerned, you know, lightness of heart, lightness of spirit, they're all the same thing. They're really not weighing heavily on other people, not being a drain, not being whinging, moaning kind of thing. You know, to be light, everything's fine. It's fun. It's a laugh. It's just a ride, kind of thing. Shabs Arcana towards the phone. I still can't. Haven't heard from you yet. I'm looking at my Skype and watching it very, very carefully. What else has happened this week? It's been quiet. I've been just enjoying myself, really, planting seeds, doing things in the garden, and having it was my son's birthday. If anybody in Britain is able to get to it, my stepdaughter is in a TV series, which is called Black Mirror, which is a it's a kind of dystopian near future kind of scenario. Things are a bit nightmarish in it at certain points, and some things are very surreal. Yes. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Hello.
Hello.
Is that Arkayla?
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good. That's wonderful. So, thank you for calling me. You know, do you know my process?
Kind of.
So, you know the scene that I need to hear your voice?
Yeah, what do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say?
Yeah.
I want you to speak from the heart.
Speak from the heart? Well, I mean, I've never really had a reading from you, or from you, but, I mean, what's a light reading, or a ray reading exactly?
Oh, you nearly had it there. I read your energy, right? So, I'll just do it live here. I tune into my soul. To my oversoul monad, tune into your oversoul monad, and then I determine what note, as it were, or color those energies are in you.
Okay.
So when we're looking at your monad, the oversoul, you have ray one, no, ray two, yes. So you have a ray two monad. Which is concomitant with everybody, you know, most people on the planet, it's basically your primary intent, which is loving and healing and nurturing and nourishing and those kind of energies. It's heart energy. And then your soul ray is ray 7, no, ray 6, no, ray 5, no, ray 4. Okay, you're one of the four souls. Interesting. And your personality is ray 1, ray 2. All right, 2, 4, 2. Very interesting. So, you'll find yourself, how can I put this? Very personable. People will kind of gravitate towards you. That's a quality of the second ray personality. Your sense may be that the world is a bit scary out there, and that's due to your extreme sensitivity. You're
yes.
very, very, very sensitive.
Yes, I am.
You can detect currents of energy long before other people. You know, like some people are very sensitive to electromagnetism and stuff like that. You'll probably be, you know, electrosensitive. You'll probably be, you probably see ghosts and stuff like that, or entities and things like that.
I don't know about that, but I'm very sensitive to I don't know, everything really. If I let it affect me, you know.
And so in terms of, right, so the soul ray, determines your career, you know, lifelong life purpose career, not just like the job that you have. That's usually just the personality, you know. When you start turning your loves into you make your work your love and your love your work, that's when you're expressing as a soul. This is what I'm talking about, saving the world, you know, because we all save the world. Everybody has to save the world by being who they are.
Yep.
And in your case, who you are is a fourth ray soul, which is very interesting. It's the soul that is like, it can be a warrior or an artist, or both. You may find yourself expressing yourself. Do you have an artistic expression?
I like art, yeah. My mom was an artist. My grandfather was an artist. I love to draw. I love to write. I like, you know, just writing out all my thoughts and everything like that.
That's lovely. So, do you express in any way? Do you publish your expressions?
I have art, you know. I don't publish it. There's going to be a day when I put it out there. Yeah, I want to start something like a school or a club or something like that. You know, just to get everybody together that I've met, you know, online and recently that are, you know, like great teachers and just really in tune with everything and, you know, what's going on around them and stuff like that.
Okay, so that's a level of harmonization that you'll be doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you the peacemaker of the family?
I try, you know.
Yeah.
It's sometimes hard. I kind of am, you know, but being the peacemaker kind of, you know, carries a lot of tasks with it and a lot of, you know, like if you've caused a ruckus, then you got to kind of break it and heal it and, you know, fix it. But yeah. I mean, I love creating peace, you know.
Yeah, because where you're sensitive to discord that you're naturally attuned to whenever it breaks out to always deal with it.
Yeah.
Or you suffer.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. And that's your job.
Yeah.
That's you doing and being. A lot of it is about being.
Yeah.
You know, much kind of
sometimes
what...
I can't... What?
Go ahead. Sometimes you can't.
Oh, sometimes I can't find my center of, you know, being in my center of now, because I get so distracted of, you know, making the now, and it's like, I don't know. My mind's a crazy place.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
And that's, so it's really up to you to get to a point of inner peace as many times a day as you can.
Yeah.
Also, there's a thing about steadfastness. You know, people might invite you somewhere and you'll say, yeah, I'll go. And then like 10 minutes before time to go, it's like, oh, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But you've committed yourself. Be careful about committing yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. Because these are 4-3 things. You know, 4-3 people are always late. You know, there's an event at 7 o'clock, they turn up at 8:30. Yeah. Hi, it's me. Hi, everybody. Yeah. Maximum disruption, you know.
Mm.
So that's a lovely, it's a lovely thing fourth ray people do. But you have fourth ray in the soul, which is very interesting, because you know Dave has these wolves.
Wolves.
Yeah. Wolf Spirit Radio, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah, kind of thing.
Oh yeah, the wolf dogs.
Yeah, he's got wolves.
Yeah.
And he asked me to read their rays, like the dogs and the wolves. And it turns out that dogs have a sixth ray soul, and wolves have a fourth ray soul.
Oh wow!
Which is very, very interesting. You know, I had no idea about this, but Dave just said, "Oh, read them for me." And I thought, oh, all right then, yeah.
That's so cool. You can read animals, though. It's very cool.
Mm.
That is very cool. JP, you're a genius.
You're a genius.
Thank you.
We're all, you know, this is what it's about. The soul is the genius. The soul is the genie in us.
Yep. Yep.
And when you speak from the heart, you speak from the soul.
I believe that. Got to get all those chakras connected and balanced and one with everybody else is doing good.
Mm.
Yep. That echo shit. Excuse me.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Let's talk. You have healing abilities, don't you?
I try, yeah. I mean, I believe that people have, you know, that have gone through shit can help other people, help themselves, and then they can help a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. This may be part of your life purpose, is to go through extreme experiences, come through, survive, because you know you can, and live to tell the tale, and also help to create a pathway from the middle of that to the outside.
Yeah.
This path involves possibly a lot of partying.
Yeah.
But it's certainly, you know, it's a shamanic healer.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they're talking about in the show, in the chat room here. So this is what Smoke was saying. I think the healer takes the client's energy into himself to read the energy. Not sure exactly how to do that. Well, basically, if you're sitting next to somebody, you'll be feeling them. You know, you'll be experiencing feelings and emotions that are not yours. You know, how many times a week does that happen? You know, you're thinking something or feeling something and that person next to you says it. That's because you're feeling them. You're experiencing what they're, what's going through their mind, their heart, because you're so sensitive to this sort of stuff. And probably, I'd say in the last, 2-3 months, that sensitivity has ramped up considerably.
Yeah, definitely. I've been clearing a lot of stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys have been helping me so much. You know, when my life was just kind of at a, you know, like a dead beat, just like, you know, confusion and just stuck in the swamps. I was just like, you guys saved me, man. Wolf Spirit Radio, like, just like, you know, just, you guys are amazing. I don't know what to say.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And you are.
I could connect a little bit better, but, cause I listen to you guys all the time, but like, I don't know, I feel nervous for you guys because you're so cool. Like,
it's all right. I'm just... I'm just Homer Simpson, you know.
Like, I don't know what to say, you know.
Oh, sweetheart. No, like, I am, you know, I'm really just a Homer Simpson guy.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I have lots of faults and... and long hair and scrabby and scruffy. But there you go.
So, are you British or are you Australian?
I'm British. I was born in London.
Oh yeah, I remember you saying that.
I'm actually not British-ish. It's, I mean, my parents weren't English. I'm not English bloodstock or anything like that. But I was just born in London. That's where I arrived.
Cool.
Doing what I do.
British accents are the best.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so do you sing?
Do I sing? No, I don't. But I want to be able to sing. I'm trying to get... My throat chakra has been kind of tempered with a little bit just by my, you know, just bad choices and stuff like that. So that's what I feel for myself, you know. But I want to get my voice, you know, my singing a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can improve all of your chakras by, you know, your throat chakra is, you know, obviously connected to your voice. So I believe, you know, I want to be able to sing one day.
Well, with your raise, you should be a fantastic singer. I mean, like, you know, world professional class singer kind of thing.
Really?
you know, that level of artistry of being in the moment. Now, here's the thing. The second ray personality is really sensitive and sensitive to sensitivity. It's it gets to the point of being fearful of leaving the house. Just in case, oh, I might have an accident, something might go wrong. It gets that fearful.
How is the second rate personality defined? How do you define that?
How is it defined? It's what you call the ego, or the, you know, the presentation to the world. So, I mean, it may be that that may have different. There are different flavors of Ray 2. One of them is this fear of impact. So, you know, the world out there is a hard and harsh place, and I don't want to go out there. And that's like these are the things that would hold you back. However, the fourth ray soul says, okay, I've got to go out there and make some peace here. And that will be like the battle that goes on. What is it? You know, the battle to be comfortable towards the battle for sorting the world out, which is ultimately going to make you more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I have lately, you're so right, I have been having trouble, you know, composing myself when I go out of the house or whatever, just because I've been spending so much time alone and learning so many things, you know, by myself. You know, I have my friends, but I've cut off a lot of people just to change my life around. And basically it's just been my family and a few people. And, but I'm getting there, you know, I'm getting everything straightened up. There's been a lot of confusion, you know, since the recent change of the ages and, you know, everything like that. The new year, 2013, the year of the snake, is going to be a good year. It's all about remembering truth and remembering what helped you and, healing and stuff like that.
You know, this is a really important moment for a lot of people. Yeah. And one of the things that it is a moment to step up. We're all being given an opportunity to, like, you know, if you're a student, you pass the grades and you go on to the next year. If you're a teacher, you become a professor. You know, it's like everybody gets a promotion.
Yeah, I totally see that.
And this is what's going on at the moment. And so you'll find yourself being asked. People will ask you to do things that you have never done before. But somehow they think that you can do it. And like Doctor Who, if somebody believes in you that you can do something, you'll just do it.
Yeah, it's true.
And
I mean, if you believe in them too.
Yeah, and if you believe in them too, then you build up power. Because it gets beyond that ability, that necessity to kind of doubt yourself all the time. You just know, like a professional surgeon doesn't think, ooh, I've got this sharp knife in my hand. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. You know, I might hurt someone. Whereas, you know, when they're in touch with who they are, you know, here I am, I'm a surgeon. I'm you know, this is like a key to get in the door. It is of no consequence. It's no longer a sharp blade with all the implications. Do you see what I mean? That there's a, it's kind of like you've stepped back from your personality into your soul and see the personality as a vehicle for the soul, like the avatar.
Yes. I believe the avatar is Catholic heaven. It is, isn't it? Because they work so hard. You know, my family's Catholic and they abide by such, you know, tough rules. And everything, and there's a lot of beauty in it that I did not see growing up. You know, it was always forced on me. And there's so much beauty in it. You know, people that sacrifice, you know, it's all about sacrifice for that aspect. And I believe that people that sacrifice, you know, a lot, you know, they do get a lot in return. You know, even if it is, you know, the next life or, you know, when they're ready in this life. You know, I believe in past life and I believe in, you know, one life. You know what I mean? At the same time, you got to put everything together. But yeah, Avatar, I believe, is Catholic heaven to me.
But you, in the way that the guy who was in the little pod driving the Avatar, yeah, inhabiting the avatar, inhabiting the being, the blue guy, there was this soldier who was inside, yeah?
Yeah.
So he's your soul, the soldier, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And your soul has this soldier ability, you know, this warrior. And it's called the energy of harmony through conflict. So it may be that during these periods when you're feeling confused, that you go back into yourself, step back from yourself, and realize that it's not like something that you need to work out. It's actually something that, like an author, you need to rewrite.
Yeah.
That gives you that. It's no longer a matter of, well, I'll try and make this change, and I'll try this, and I'll try that. You just know that this is what's going to happen. You know? And that's really what you're taking hold of your avatar, and you're driving it like a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And so your personality is a vehicle for your soul. And your personality is very sweet. It's very personable. You can ask, you could probably ask zany, cheeky questions of people that will motivate them to get them doing the right thing. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
Does it scare you?
I can be witty even though I act like a child sometimes.
Does it scare you?
Does it scare me that I can be what? Sometimes it does, like my own power, you know. My own power scares me because I study magic and astrology and everything a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like I sometimes have a lot of power. It's not power. It's energy. I have so much pure energy inside me, not from, you know, just being, you know, like given everything you ever wanted or anything like that, but by knowing what's true. That's what gives you true energy. I think the truth, energy comes from truth.
Absolutely.
The
truth will make you strong.
Yes, and energy and truth are kind of opposite each other because, you know, making them on the same, you know, lines, being, you know, complete opposites, kind of like logic and truth, magic and truth.
All of those jicks. All the jicks. Logic, magic.
Yeah, yes, the ologies,
and the isms and schisms.
I don't know what schisms are.
Ah, the divisions. That's the, you know, you hear reggae talking. I don't deal with no isms and schisms. And it's all about being part of the one and recognizing that you're part of the one, and still, you know, behave in a individual kind of way. It's an odd dichotomy, but that's what it's about. You know, we all have our own uniqueness, and that uniqueness is what's needed in the world. That if you don't express it, that it causes you harm. And that's one of the reasons I asked Lucy to come on, because she was around this evening and had an energy that I could feel. It was like an untapped dam and needed to be expressed in some way. And this was part of it. So it's all about the healing.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the
healing. I mean, the farther you get dragged down, you know, you have that much power to get back up and heal. And not just yourself. You can heal other people.
Yeah.
That's all it's about. That's what I discovered, you know.
Well, this is the shamanic healer that is in you. That you take all the imbalance in your life and you rebalance it within yourself.
Yeah, you got to.
That's the shamanic healing. That's what shamans do. And you probably do it without thinking, without being conscious of it.
I mean, it takes work, you know.
Hmm. Well, people are work, aren't they?
Knowledge over work.
And a little thing about economic collapse, because that's what is sort of going on in the chat room, is I've been through a personal economic collapse over the last few years, and it's completely survivable, but you have to get creative. And that's really what it's about. It's about getting creative and valuing yourself and not relying on somebody else to give you a job. Is you make a job. You make your job your job. Make what you love your job, and then it won't be a job anymore. It won't be work anymore. It'll be, you can just be and receive, and it'll all be blessed with joy. So that's my answer to economy, because it's the economy of empathy, of ecology, of being in touch with the flow. Because if you're in the flow and you need, then your needs will be served. That's just natural. That's part of the natural process of life as it happens. Do you have many manifestations recently in the last 5 minutes?
I'm just kind of, I don't know, I'm drinking a beer right now.
You just manifested a beer. In terms of, like, the life that you'd love to lead, is it making itself present in your life, or does it feel like something that's far off?
I don't know. Every time I listen to this show, to Wolf Spirit, I feel, you know, more aligned and everything. I mean, yes, I have. The last week has been really, really good for me. I'm learning a lot, and, you know, waking up and everything. I'm drinking a lot of coffee, and, you know, I used to do a lot of drugs and stuff, so it is helping me, like, you know, stay aligned. Oh, I don't know. I go through a lot in my head at once. I'm not trying to put anything on. I'm just like...
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, basically, you know, with this fourth ray soul, you will see a lot of injustice in the world. And one of the ways of dealing with it, Arkayla, is to recognize that in ourselves are those same forces. You know, whatever forces you might see outside, that in ourselves are those forces. That they come on. Stop flipping. All right.
Someone's calling you.
No, sorry, it's the next program coming in, and I'll join them in a few minutes. That the forces outside of ourselves that appear to be outside, we have them in us. You know, we have a banker inside us. We have a policeman inside us. We have a politician inside us. And when we recognize those bits inside us and come to terms with them and forgive them inside of us, that's what creates change in the outside world. And it can be a beautiful thing. I presume you're using Ho'oponopono?
What's that?
I love you. Repeat after me. I love you.
I love you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is very, very powerful. The more you say it, the more you feel it, the more you feel it, the more it's effective. It can change the world around you. And it's the process of forgiveness, of recognizing that you're part of the big, of the one, and that whatever you do and whatever you've done has brought events around to facing what is in front of you. And so you respond to the moment, but with forgiveness. And that's what heals the world.
Well, force of forgiveness is the most powerful force.
Yep, that's right.
It's so true.
And so, Arkayla.
Yeah.
My dear, 242. unusual, rare, special, and very nice to be around. Very nice energy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, JP.
So,
I will be listening to you a lot more.
Check out the archives as well.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff there. Lots of stuff. And so, with that, thank you very much to my previous guest, Lucy Thomas. Thank you very much, Arkayla. And thank you for accompanying me in this last half hour of the show. This has been Ever Beyond. Join me on Tuesday on Revolution Radio with Journeys with JP. And later on Tuesday with Andrew Bartzis on Wolf Spirit Radio with Soul Expressions.